Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, listen, we've got this mayor's race going on. Who knew? Mm-hmm. Almost every day we've had, because there's so many people in the race, we've had
a lot of choices.
A contestant for this, and I like to say contestant because sometimes it does feel more like a game show. And LaShawn Ford is with us, and LaShawn wishes to be the mayor of the city of Chicago. I start off these interviews with every single one of you with this question: why? What do you want? Why?
Why do I want to be mayor? First of all, I'm the best candidate. When you look at the field of candidates, I love the city of Chicago. I'm from the west side of Chicago. And we know that we have to make sure that the city includes the south and west sides of Chicago. And it's been forgotten about in the past. And so we're going to do everything that we can to bring this city to life. And I'm the person to do it.
I've heard you say you're not going to govern like any of the previous mayors, and that the big names are not ones we should consider. You should look at, we need to move in a new direction. I've heard you speak about that. But there are other progressives in the race as well. I mean, you've got a lot of choices. How do you distinguish yourself from those voices?
Well, you have people that say that they're progressive, but what you have to do is, when you look to pick your leaders in government, you have to look at their real track record. Campaigns, people could talk all they want about what they're going to do. But the difference in this campaign, I'm a candidate with experience and with a track record. Progressive ideas and progressive actions is what you will find in if you look at my website, if you look at the work that I've done. I've supported the women's right to choose how they should deal with their own bodies. I've supported the immigration sanctuary state, and I support that for the city. I've supported re-entry in the state long before any candidate, even Tony Pretwinkle, even thought about talking about restorative justice models. I've supported marriage equality. I supported civil union. I mean, my track record is
okay.
Proven.
That's all.
That's good.
That's all well and good, but those are not municipal issues.
They're not, but you know what? People in Chicago need to know the moral compass that I have, okay, and how I will govern with a lens of fairness.
So let's apply that then to municipal issues, which
yes.
Are, let's talk about policing. Let's start with that. What changes would you like to see at the Chicago Police Department?
Absolutely. I mean, with the Chicago Police Department, we have to deal with the fact that we have to have a new contract with the FOP. And FOP, they must come to the table and agree that the current contract that they're dealing with is bad for the police and it's bad for the communities. You know, we have to make sure that we get rid of that GAIN database. It's horrible for the city. What we know is...
Okay, let's stop on that for a second, because that's a relatively new issue in this. Why would you get rid of the GAIN database, and why is it horrible for the city?
Well, it's new in this, and that's what sets me apart from the other candidates. I've been working on the GAIN database in Springfield now for the last year and a half. So we have a bill in Springfield to eliminate the GAIN database, because you can arbitrarily put anyone on that database just because the police officer says he or she wants to put Roe on it. You don't have to give you an explanation. You don't have to know you're on it. But when you are pulled over, or you apply for a job, or you find
apply for a job. Wait, where does that come up?
Some employers could find out that you're on the GAIN database. And
through what mechanism, do you know?
You know, there is a mechanism where federal employers can find out that you are on a GAIN database. State employers can find out. I think it's LISC. Yes, there's no doubt that employers could find
government
out.
Jobs.
Government jobs.
Okay. Right. I know that you've talked about economic development on the south side and the west side, and I think there's most people in Chicago would say that that is a fair point. We need that kind of development of overlooked communities. They need to have opportunities there, and education is another issue, and law enforcement and spending on police and that kind of thing. But we also have budgetary issues, and that this is the kind of thing that the next mayor is going to have to be involved with, making the city, rejuvenating those areas that need our attention, and the areas like education and things like that. But also, while sticking to a budget with big pension balloon payments due soon. And how do you balance those two?
Well, before you even think about, I mean, everyone knows that there's only two ways that you could fix the pension problem. One, you have to raise revenue. Two, you go to Springfield and you figure out a way to change the law. Well, before we talk about taxing the people in the city of Chicago, we have to make sure that we recognize that because the South and West sides of Chicago is not the best that it could be, it costs all the taxpayers so much money, and it's causing all of us problems with the city's budget. Mm-hmm. Because we have so much racism and a police department that costs us millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, that impacts our budget. The fact that we have a Chicago public school that has a $7.5 billion unchecked budget, and the mayor is responsible for that budget because he appoints the board. Those type of unilateral decisions that the mayor has really hurts the budget. What we have to do to shore up some funds for Chicago's budget problems, we have to make sure that we work with our federal and state delegation. So we have a federal delegation of congressmen, U.S. congressmen and Senate. We have to make sure that they bring more money back to the city of Chicago, to the state of Illinois. Illinois is a donor state. We send a dollar to Washington and we receive less than a dollar back. That's horrible. Some states send a dollar and receive almost $8 back. We have to make sure we're looking at this beautiful view, and many people that live down here wouldn't mind paying more to make sure that this city is stable. Because if the city is stable, the people that live in high rises that can afford to pay more will. So that means we have to make sure Ken Griffey Jr. pays more of taxes. We have to make sure that the new governor.
Well, Ken Griffin will. Is he a junior? I don't know. Ken Griffey Jr. I love. Ken Griffin is going to leave the state if he wants.
He's not going to leave.
I think he will.
He'll leave if he pays more.
Well, he's already leaving. He just bought a house in London. So I mean, there's the reality is that if you can tax people out, you can tax businesses out. I don't think it doesn't necessarily follow that if you raise taxes that you're going to make more money, right?
Well, I mean, yes, if you raise taxes on high-end salaries and people that make money like J.B. Pritzker, you're going to bring in more revenue. I mean, Chicago is a beautiful city. People will say that they will leave, but where are you going to go to get a city like this? I mean, there are a lot of assets that bring people to Chicago that I think that people will pay to be here.
Miami.
Yeah, it's, you know, they still don't have what we have. Look at this
Dallas,
view.
Houston. I mean, there's a lot of places that people are going to. Nashville. There's a lot of places that Chicagoans are finding their way to. I mean, it's about increasing. Well, would you agree with this? Because I know some of the other people who are running for mayor say that we need to actually increase the population in Chicago.
What would
you do to encourage
that? Well, one, we have to make sure that we get a complete count of the population in the city of Chicago. And we're going to have a census count in 2020. Chicago is undercounted. And that's a part of the reason why we are not getting enough federal dollars to the city of Chicago.
That's probably true, but how would you encourage people who do not wish to be counted because they're worried about their immigration status?
Well, that's a problem. So you have to work through all these problems that you may bring up. But the fact is, we have to shore up our numbers. There are a number of people in this city that's undercounted, and that's part of the administration's fault that we're not doing everything that we can to count all of our citizens in this city. Every citizen.
The mayor's administration.
That's right. Okay. Rahm Emanuel's, yes.
All right. Okay, so in terms of schools, you mentioned school budget.
Yes.
Are you indicating that you think it's too high?
No, I'm indicating that I think that it's unchecked and it causes corruption in the process. When you have a school board that's appointed by the mayor and no one else controls it but his appointees, that's why you have schools on the south and west sides of Chicago that's ignored, because the mayor could give the funding to whatever communities that he or she pleases. And that's what we see now. We don't see any favoritism anywhere but in certain communities. What we have to do is have a city that's going to be fair and equitable and make sure that every community has a school where kids could walk out of their doors and go to a high quality school with high quality teachers. I'm a teacher by profession. I live on the west side in Austin, and I used to teach at Bridge. Bridge is Harlem and Irving. students from Austin had to get on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to Bridge because Bridge, 3800 North England, had more resources. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not right. Every community should have the access to high quality education. And so it's unfair even to the young people in at Bridge that had to have kids come outside of their community, come in their school and use up their resources, fill up their classrooms because we had to send people from the west side to the north side. So what did that do to the north side? It made their classes larger. We could have just simply made sure that children, students on the west side had access to a high-quality education just like the north side.
Yeah, there's no question. Education needs to be addressed. I think ethics is also front and center. We heard the news today that Alderman Solis was wearing a wire and that potentially there are issues in the city council right now with several aldermen being under federal scrutiny. And voters don't look at this and think, you know, things are running well there. And the next mayor is going to have to address that issue.
You know, I think that we have a slew of people that's connected to Alderman Burke, and we continue to hear Tony Pretwinkle having problems during this campaign, and it's disappointing that that she's constantly running commercials as if she's a saint, and that she's running commercials like she's honest. But every day we hear new things about how she's not the person that she's portraying in these million-dollar commercial ads.
Where would you be on this issue of public corruption? What would you want to see? Let's talk about the city council for a second, right? As if you were to become the mayor of Chicago, you'd be the executive of the... And some of these other mayoral candidates are saying that they'd like to see a smaller city council. Where are you on that?
Well, I mean, 15 is just ridiculous. I mean...
Is 50 ridiculous?
50, you know, 50 is not ridiculous if they're doing a job for the communities. If the 50 aldermen adds value to the city, then it's not ridiculous.
What do you think?
I think that I've often thought, and I've spoken with people about 25. But when you do 25, you have to make sure that every community is represented. Mm-hmm. So you cut down to 25. You look at a diverse city like this, who's going to lose out? That's what we have to make sure.
I mean, the way that's gerrymandered anyway. I mean, if you look at the ward map now in Chicago,
right?
You know, coming up in this town, the ward map made some kind of at least geographic sense, right? It wasn't really based on as much on. I mean, there was always going to be racial dynamic in it, but it was always now you have for example, the second ward of the city of Chicago that cuts from the near South Side and the South Loop and the West Loop, and then somehow kicks back down one street, comes up north, comes east to encompass Water Tower Place and some pieces of Streeterville, and then kicks back out. And you're like, where is that?
See, and you're saying it right. We're going to have a 2020 census, and then you have a person like Daley just throwing out there that we should cut it to 15. Well,
he said 25, by the way, to us yesterday. So
no, I read 15.
Okay, well, he was just in here, so
He's flip flopping already.
I don't know. Wasn't that the number that he said yesterday?
I think that the headline was 15, but supposedly he wants to really
So whatever that happens to be.
So you got a census, you got a map that you have to draw, and so if you change it and drop it to a number out after the map is drawn, there's going to be people left out. There's a such thing as one person, one vote, and you have to make sure that everyone has representation in the city.
And well, what will be interesting too is the Supreme Court's going to overlay this anyway, because the Supreme Court's going to be looking at gerrymandering as an issue, and then you might just have to have, you know, block wards that are based on geography that's all geographic and has nothing to do with the actual components within. So we'll see how the Supreme Court comes back on that. All right, what is your website, LaShawn?
FordForChicago.com. Thank you, Jeff.
FordForChicago.com.
That's easy to remember.
Right. Very, very good. Ford Motor Company called. They're on line 3. They're like, why didn't we think of that?
We want that one.
Yeah. All right, LaShawn, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
fun out
LaShawn.
There. Good luck
thank
out there.
You.